Hey everybody, Matt Michaels here on the DeFalco Files with the owner and creator of FSW, the Future Stars of Wrestling here in Las Vegas, Mr. Joe DeFalco. Joe, I hear you've been rolling in money from Triller TV.
Yeah, you know, as I said, I was just writing them a third email waiting for a response about the money that's owed. It's like, you know, man, at least have the decency to what you call your supposed partners and make a response. That's all.
Are they is Triller enrolled in the school? Are they students at the wrestling school?
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's just like, what's up with the, you know? And then when they finally did make a payment, they paid like February, March, and April, which was probably in June or July or whatever, and it was like, okay, you guys still owed for January, you missed that one. And at that point, it was like, hey, you guys still owe January. But I got paid for the few months, so okay, no problem. So now it's like, hey, what's the holdup? You know, catch me up to for January. And then you don't get a response. And then a couple months later, it's like, okay, two more months, even though you're supposed to get paid monthly. Yeah. You know, we rely on that money. When other money goes out, you know, we have to pay the Silverton before the show. We don't, right. We know we don't get paid. It's like, you know, it took 3.5 weeks for us to get the check back. Rent's right. Due, bills are due. It's like, I'm not asking you to cut a check 3 days after the date. We're talking about payment for July.
Yeah. Yeah. Which holds up Hammerstone's payments. So
exactly. That's why I couldn't book them until hopefully luck of the draw.
Speaking of shows, you just had a little show go on, a student show, quote unquote, with a main event of two guys who are definitely not students. What you think about Brett and Ice?
I thought it was an excellent match. You know, Brett had moved away, so now it became a little trickier to get him on shows. Yeah. And they had talked about wanting to do a match for a long time, and Ice hit me up. He was like, hey, what do you think about me versus Brett the Threat? I'm like, sure. You know, it's Brett the Threat. I know he's in Cali now and, you know, making sure things work out. But I'll tell you what, man, you know, Brett the Threat brought it. And it's the little things. And that's what hopefully he sees when he sees it. It's the transitions into the reversals and the things like that. Like, if you watch the match, like, just regular match and not really paying attention, yeah, Brett the Threat looks good. But when you really watch the intricate stuff,
yep.
You know, it reminds me of like a Ryan Taylor, a Thomas Day, that it's like Brett's not thinking anymore. Like Brett might over, which I think was his biggest issues, was overthinking things. And maybe things weren't as smooth, but, you know, all parties clicked. And, you know, that was one of the best Future Shock matches you're going to see. You know, I hit up Gabe Sapolsky the next day. I'm like, hey, you know, I know he watches our product, but hey, he sees the Future Shock. He knows it's gonna be the younger guys probably, so he may not pay that much attention. He's got a lot of shit going on. So I'm like, hey, you may want to check out this match, man. I thought Ice and Brett the Threat really, really had a good match. He goes, yeah, I was looking to check out the show, but you know, thanks for the heads up. And when I saw Ice yesterday, I believe Gabe hit him up to say he had watched the match and he really enjoyed it. So, you know, hopefully that helps people.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that that's, you know, that's the thing that you're seeing in the development of guys like Brett now. When you're hitting that third, fourth year, you're starting to see where the improvement is in terms of the adaption, you know, being able to adapt, being able to get the feel, and being able to do things, like you said, without kind of thinking and just, you know, the natural progression of the beats, the moments, it's phenomenal to see. And also, you know, you can see that, you know, transition into guys getting, you know, the opportunities at other places and delivering on a constant basis, which we're seeing that Brett has taken that leap. And and then you got to give it up for Ice too, because Ice is at that point where, you know, right now Ice can make anything look smooth. You know, it'd be interesting to see maybe Ice and say Damian Drake, right? You know, where they were 4 or 5 years ago versus where they are now. It's, you know, it's incredible to see these guys progress.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, the only thing coming out of that I would say disappoints me is that after Ice lost the FSW Heavyweight Championship, he kind of disappeared for a good amount of time. And, you know, to think if you would have taken his body of work over the last 4 months and moved it to right after, take a month off after he lost the title, whatever, and really started kicking back in January, where would he be in October? But right. He was kind of gone December, January, February, March, maybe into, say, April or May. You know, that besides not working here, not working elsewhere, you know, that's, you know, multiple matches that right. He really could have, you know, shined. And like I said, you know, an Ice Williams versus Gregory Sharp, you know, another match that probably guys didn't really touch each other.
Yeah.
Because as Ice was transitioning and lost the belt to Shogun, Ice was the heavyweight champion. And Sharp was in that run, so him and Shogun and him and Ice, you know, didn't really get that opportunity to work each other. So,
right.
You know, and you look, and it's like, wow, so many talented wrestlers that are coming through the pike. And, you know, look at the success, Jacob Austin Young. He's back in Japan, you know, doing his thing. And it's like finding, you know, diamonds in the rough, you know, Bryce Saturn, you know, putting some dedication. We actually have a match, which we saw the singles match at Future Shock that was tremendous, which was Ice Williams and Bryce Saturn. Well, now it's going to be the faction, Ice Williams and Braxton, against Bryce Saturn and Damian Desire at a tag team match at the Halloween show. So nice. That's another match that has been added to the card. So, you know, it's really hard. You know, sure. A guy like Bodhi was like, oh, yeah, I'm not going to be able to make the 25th. It's like, don't worry about it. No problem. It's like it really does make it easier.
Right.
When certain guys can't make the show, because I'm always trying to get a Sharp on the show. I always want to get a Vandegrift on the show. You're trying to get these, you know, you got the No Limits champion, Damian Drake, and you want to get these guys on the show. But as I've always stated, you know, there's only 7 or 8 wins on an entire show. And it depends on where you're going in the thing. And it's like, you never wish anything bad, like Danny Limelight hurting his knee, but it's like, you take a deep breath and it's like, okay, I don't have to worry about what he's going to do on that show. And he'll be here the 25th, and, you know, he's very eager. And it's like, you know, hey, you know, you got a match at the Rumble show, Luck of the Draw, on the 24th. Just because you're on the show the 25th doesn't mean you can't cut a promo, you can't set things up. It's like, you know, it's probably best to take that one more show off.
Yeah.
to be healthy, because the casino show is a big show. You know, who wins the Rumble is a big deal. You know, instead of wrestling at 70% and hope you're at 80% at luck of the draw, maybe take that time off and now you're 90% at luck of the draw.
Right.
You know, it's not going to hurt anything. So it's like, you know, we got the 4-on-4 tag, Sky High and Makeshift Chemistry. They're going to take on the Golden Era and the Billionaire Boys Club, the tag champions. We got the gimmick, Halloween gimmick battle royal. So that's going to happen after what happened to Gypsy at Luck of the Draw. Dante King wants Raw Reese and Nino Black. Nino Black cost them the match. Raw Reese took out his girl. So there's going to be some involvement, you know, in that situation. And they work for Limelight. So Danny will be there. Now, how he gets involved or is a part of the show, you know, it's crazy. It's like, oh, shit, show's like 10 days away. And it's like trying to get everything, you know, where we're going to go in place. Matt Vandegrift's going to defend the Nevada State Championship. Not sure who gets to. Damian Drake's asking me, hey, who am I working? And, you know, Jared Diaz is making the trip from New York to be a part of the show. So, you know, we won't have him wrestle Matt because he's been involved with that with the Future Legends, and he's wrestled Matt numerous times. So it's like, okay, where are we going to go with, say, Jared Diaz? And JKM was very impressive. Dante and Gypsy's boy from New Mexico, who's now here in Vegas full time. So, you know, it's trying to make everything happened. The women's Maserati and Alice Blair, what's going on there? And, you know, I'm really trying to put together. I don't know when it's going to happen, but Matt Vandegrift, you know, if he doesn't lose the title quickly, him versus Bateman is a match I definitely want to see.
Sure.
So, yeah, you know, that might happen the 25th. You know, normally we do a casket match, but it's like trying to get the right matchup. You know, usually a casket match should feature two guys that have really, or right, two women. You know, we could have the first women's casket match. You know, we might do Alice Blair versus Maserati. I don't know yet.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be worth the while. It would be fun to see what Maz does. I mean, Maz has done, you know, pretty much all the gimmick type matches. So a coffin match would be very interesting to see. And it'd be fun to see how Alice does in that, especially because she's associated with some pretty grim people. So,
yeah. And that's going to be on the 25th. And then on the 23rd, we just announced the Silver Knights. They got their Heritage Night happening next Wednesday, the 23rd. And we're going to provide two matches right in the front entryway of the now Lee's Family Forum. We're going to open the show with Mariachi Montaña getting to perform in front of the big crowd. So obviously it's a little tighter squeeze there, but, you know, we're going to be on the big screens that, you know, out before the game. And then after the first intermission, we're going to be having a triple threat or fatal four-way featuring Matt Vandegrift, Bodie, and we're looking for other one or two other, you know, Ice Williams has been discussed. He's trying to work out his schedule to make himself available for that. So that would be an interesting triple threat. Gregory Sharp's in the mix. You know, we want to showcase, you know, three or four of our best after the first intermission. So, you know, should be a good time. I know a lot of our wrestling fans are also hockey fans and got season tickets. So yeah. I know they'll be on, you know, they'll be there supporting, you know, FSW. So a lot on the horizon. We just locked up a full slate of shows for WrestleMania on the Thursday, four shows are going to happen from other companies. Friday, we have three other shows already booked. We have the fourth show, so we're either going to give it up or we're going to do something. Saturday, we have a show at noon, and we have a show at midnight. And then on Wednesday, we also have a couple shows. So right now, we're at 11 or 12 shows from companies from Canada, all Caribbean wrestling, and all through the United States. So, you know, I talked to our guy Ed in San Antonio. He locked in. He'll be doing the Friday noon show, like those early afternoon shows, and it'll be generally an all-women show. Might be an intergender match or two. Waiting on Manny Lemons. He's supposed to be doing something. And we got Demand Lucha out of Canada and Colorado Wrestling Connection and Phase One Pro Wrestling and numerous companies. So it's like, you know, that alone. But we're also discussing doing on the Wednesday, the Wednesday, a training workshop featuring, you know, some major talent running a workshop. So, you know, that could be something a little different, not really for the fans. But, hey, right. Who knows if the trainers wanted to be an open workshop discussing and working with the wrestlers. I have no idea yet. It's something that, you know, we're looking to put together a little different than, right. You know, per se, just another wrestling show, because we're saying, hey, we got 12 shows. Well, I'm sure Brett and GCW's collective is going to have similar amounts. And I'm sure WrestleCon will be out here doing stuff. And then there'll be the random companies renting out random venues. Right. So, you know, there's going to be no shortage of shows. You know, Mike Bailey's probably going to have to break his record of working 9 or 10 shows Mania weekend, because, you know, he might be able to get to 15 with what everything's going on if he gets in early. Because somebody's going to want to do a Sunday at noon show when Mania starts at 4.
Right. Right.
You know, we did it with SummerSlam with GCW, and it worked great. So.
And then get Mike Bailey to do a midnight after WrestleMania show on Sunday.
If somebody wants to. Bailey, I don't care if it's Tom Bailey from the Thompson Twins. It doesn't matter who it is.
Actually, that'd be pretty wild. If we could get that.
You know? So, you know, never have we are going to have, you know, Ring of Honor, supposedly, you know, talked about doing something with Cage, and, you know, and that's in the April. And then it's like, oh, so obviously I'll be meeting with my guy from the Lee's Family Forum, seeing if we have any more info about announcing the date. It would be great if we were at Lee's Family Forum on Wednesday and were able to make the announcement that we'll be there for a show in June. So, you know.
Right.
We're hoping to get everything, you know, all the ducks in a row. It's like, hey, we got something November. We know we got the January-ish. Then we got, you know, what we're going to do, because from January to June, but we got April for Mania. So what are we going to do February, March? It's definitely going to be interesting this next 9 months.
So when you look at then the next show at the Silverton, how's that coming along? Because that's going to be here, you know, what, 5 weeks?
5 weeks away.
Yeah. It's like, I mean, is everything in place, or is it still, you know, Silverton rules of.
Well, yeah, because, you know, again, finally got the check, and it was like 3 weeks ago. It's like, hey, let's get that contract rolling so we can get some stuff. So I finally get in touch with them, because I believe last week I said I hadn't talked to anybody. So finally got the check, and my response was, okay, well, when I get back next week, I'll start putting together the contract. Well, now we're back into next week, which is now the 17th, 18th, 19th. By the time I get it, it's another week. So now we're less than 4 weeks away again.
Right.
But, you know, Mikey's working on the stuff. He said he'll have some stuff to me this week. So it isn't like it was ready to go. But, right. You know, the quicker we can get it up, you know.
Yeah.
You know, that way, when they do put the marquee up, it's just not a picture of Danny Limelight. It's actually a picture of a bunch of people that might be on the show. So if you don't like Danny Limelight, you're like, well, since Danny Limelight's the only guy on the show, I'm not going to come. You know, at least if we put his daughter, people will be like, oh, okay, cool. Danny Limelight's daughter is going to be there.
I think there was one person who absolutely loved that, though. And I think... He appreciated the fact that he was the face of that.
He was excited. That's why he didn't want to pull out with the knee injury.
Yeah.
Boy, that would have been false advertising. Imagine that. The only person you advertise on the show and he's the one who doesn't make it. That kind of would suck. We're going to go see Creed, and it's like, yeah, they're not showing up. Scott Stapp ain't singing with them no more. They had a fight backstage similar to, you know, Jane's Addiction.
Hey, I was doing security for K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas the year that Scott Stapp started the set and then just walked off stage.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, they did about four or five songs, and then he just walked off. What the hell?
You know, and for some people like them and Oasis, you know, hopefully they're going to say, we're making a lot of money. You're over there. I'm over here. I'll sing. You play guitar. Shut the fuck up. Do your thing. You know, I've never understood it, but I guess, you know, if you can't stand somebody, you don't even really want to be in the same room. But it's like, I've worked with people I didn't like, but I still worked. You know, I still did what I had to do. And it's like, whatever reason, it's weird. It's kind of like Limp Bizkit. They run that time where everybody's like, fuck them, they suck, fuck Limp Bizkit, fuck Creed. And then time passes, and now it's like, oh, man. And Creed's basically selling out everywhere they're going.
Yeah.
And it's weird, but it's like the same thing with the wrestling where guys disappear for a long time. And then all of a sudden on the indie circuit, they got huge value.
Right.
And it's no different. It's like how many of these bands, you know, had hits and it's like, wow, no, nobody cares. Nobody cares. And then all of a sudden, 18 years later, they're playing the packed houses. Like Limp Bizkit has had the resurgence. And now Creed, like, you know, I heard a couple songs Scott Stapp did, which was weird. Creed's going out on tour, but there was a new Scott Stapp album.
Right.
And he did an album years ago that I really enjoyed. And, you know, I didn't hear the whole album, but The Great Divide, I think, was the song, was excellent. And then when he came out with Higher Power, I was like, this song's fucking fantastic. And then all of a sudden, like a month later, it's like, oh, Creed's coming back on tour and they're going to do this. And it's like, I'd be highly disappointed if I went to see Creed because tickets aren't bad. They're going to play at the Coliseum December 30th and 31st. Obviously, New Year's Eve, I'm booked. But the day before, tickets were starting at like $90. But it's like, is he going to sing the new stuff that he's done by himself?
Ask Bay, because Bay saw them in Texas.
That's true.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure Bay didn't even know, the song Higher when he heard it. Hey, that must be a new song. Sounds good. So I don't know. You know, I'm not sure Chris went there because it was like, oh, my God, I can't wait to see Creed. Or, hey, I'm going to the Creed show. You want to come with me? Yeah, sure. I'll come check it out.
He thought it was Apollo Creed.
Yeah, could have. Or I could do something really weird, go on the internet and go, Creed's set list.
Yeah.
And then it'll tell you every song they played. And yeah. It's like, oh, okay, he's doing his songs and their songs. Awesome.
Yeah.
Because, again, that, you know, I can't believe he lost his voice. You know what I mean? And he had one of the better voices of any singer, you know, in the late 90s, 2000s. So, you know, the band's always going to be good. So I can't believe that won't be an excellent show.
Yeah. No, it's very interesting. I went to Sum 41's last American concert.
I'm a big fan of them, but not big enough to like, you know.
It was great.
I like their stuff that when they first came out, and then, you know, even later on, they had some songs that were minor hits, but I just dug a lot of their stuff.
Yeah.
Then I heard he was going to be the new lead singer of Linkin Park for a little while. That was the hot rumor. But I think they made a wise decision because I don't think that would have meshed. And by putting a female singer in there, it kind of distanced them. And I know that she got a lot of heat early on about the stuff with Masterson and stuff. But it was like, you know, she explained herself that was my friend. And, you know, I believed them. And then I saw everything that came out. Now she distanced herself. It's like, you know, are we going to hold everybody like, oh, well, she went to the court hearing. And now anything that happened that she did in a positive light will never come to see the light of day. And, you know, I think the songs I've heard a couple from Linkin Park, but they were really good also. And it's good to hear them back. It's like the singer Shinoda didn't really do anything. Like, he did something recently, but he didn't do anything over the last 7-8 years. So it's nice. I see they're going to be in Vegas with Metallica in April.
Yeah,
for some huge festival.
Yeah, the sick.
I think I'm too old to sit at a festival for 12 hours and shit.
It's a great lineup, though. I mean, Evanescence and.
I really wanted to see Metallica. Like, I thought when they came back around that they would do shows in Vegas, but they didn't the second time around. And even at Allegiant, because I've seen Metallica a couple times. I saw them, I'm not sure who headlined, but it was Metallica and Ozzy.
Okay. Yeah.
And I saw them at the Felt Forum in New York City, which only seated about 1,000. So you can imagine how loud it was. It was Metal Church and Metallica.
Oof.
Holy fuck. I don't think I could hear for weeks. Still not as loud as the Twisted Sister concert. That was at the Ritz in New York City. And Dee Snider, somebody threw something, I remember, because it was 2 levels at the Ritz. And basically Dee Snider was threatening to have the guy who threw something thrown off the second balcony from the fan. So it was quite an experience. It was my first like metal concert. I saw the Police.
Oh, wow.
And my first metal concert was Twisted.
Was Twisted.
And Queensryche, actually.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Queensryche had an EP called Queen of the Reich. They had like 4 songs. EP. Yeah. Nobody in the world knew who the fuck these motherfuckers were.
Yeah. And then, you know, years later, you get the real big hit, and they've been going, you know, for 40
and then
years.
Then you go see him and some guy you never heard of singing Jeff Tate songs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, you know, when you look at thinking about, you said festival, and you're looking at what you want to do for Lee's, you know, what do you think in terms of going into that planning that you could do to make that event, you know, either an all-day event for being there or you know, doing, you know, Saturday, like a Saturday full day at the arena with other type of things. I mean, how are you coming across that process of what you can actually do to make it more of an event for the anniversary?
Well, we are now 9 months away, and supposedly we're not be able to figure out which date we're going to do because of the Nighthawks until November when their schedule comes. Well, we're pitching June 21st, June 28th. And again, everything is literally on the table. Everything. You know, throwing it out there. Talking with Tough Enough, where they took our name, the Future Stars, but of MMA. And it's like, hey, would that increase things? Kind of, because my idea came from, I'll take credit for that. You know, they took my name and the concept of that, and I took the concept of their Pack the Mac, of the idea of using sponsors and other ways to bring in the revenue, and pretty much offered free tickets. We're right. going to try to do something similar that tickets are little to, you know, no money mixed in with obviously the ringside seats and things like that. But what we can do in wrestling that they can't do on, say, that show is nobody's going to pay for a meet and greet with an amateur MMA guy that nobody really knows. But right. using a Ricochet, using a Hardys, using whoever we're looking to bring in, the value. They have their downstairs area where we would be for the Silver Knights, where they offer where you can get a buffet, all you can eat, you know, nice spread. Well, hey, you know, we've done it before. Basically an eat and greet that we did with Matt Hardy on two occasions. One was at Casa de Amor, which went really, really well. Best food, you know, one of the best Italian places in town, hanging right. out with Matt Hardy for 4 hours when Rebby's getting mad because it's lasting 4 hours. Like, when is this going to end? She says to me. I'm like, it's done whenever, you know, whenever he wants. Well, could you tell Matt to wrap it up? And it's like, I can't tell Matt shit. Matt's going to do whatever he wants. If you want to leave, you're the one who has to be the bad guy in that situation. Because Matt was the guy who, you know, loved talking to the fans and appreciated them. And, you know, on the indies, people would be like, oh, look at Matt Hardy. And it's like, that guy made more money on the indie scene for those years than he would have in WWE when you're talking about net compared to gross.
Right.
You know, he got flown everywhere. People would take him to dinner.
Yeah.
His hotel was paid for, not like in WWE. All that stuff got carved up. And then, right. you know, Matt would sell almost as much as his rate in merchandise.
Right.
And Rebby would handle that. And, you know, hey, how about a picture? Yeah, how about you buy a shirt? Well, Matt might say, oh, okay, no problem. And, you know, and the fans don't like it. You know, I've heard stuff with Kate. Oh, you wouldn't give me a picture. And it's like, did you buy anything? No. It's like, well, you know, he's hustling on the indies. If he gives you a free picture, he's got to give everybody a free picture.
Right.
And there's got to be, you know, you wouldn't ask Sting for a free picture, and I get it. At that point, Cage isn't Sting, but you have to also understand that they're trying to carve out every dollar they can while they're out there. And, you know, I'll be the first to admit it. Initially, like, I always was like, oh, I don't believe it. And it's like, you understand and learn the business. Because when you first start, I'm excited, you know, deer in headlights. Oh, I didn't make any money. Who cares? You know, I got to do what I love, the wrestling. But once you start putting in the grind and you're putting in hours and hours every single week, and you know, you need that other job to pay your bills and your wrestling bills, you know, you want to make something out of it.
Right.
So, you know, also they're being shipped out the trading card set for the Phil Singer Games Independent Wrestling FSW that is going to be shipped out. So we should hopefully have the cards by the November 9th show.
Okay.
We got Chris Bay. We got Hammerstone. We got Sharp. We got Brittany Brooks. We got Bodie. We got Vandegrift. We got Shogun, and I might be missing one that I remember that I just forgot, but you know, it's the first eight that are being released. Jacob Austin Young.
Okay.
Which ends up being a good move now that he's in New Japan. So, yeah. And then there's the next set of eight that we have talked about. And that includes, again, mainstays of FSW that, you know, the Remy's, the Damian Drakes, and the Ice Williams and stuff like that. So, you know, we're excited about that. It's a nice release. It's a little exposure for us and people who aren't aware of us, just like at the Lee's Family Forum, you know.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll be able to get everything over through their seasons. They got lacrosse. They got the women's volleyball. They got the indoor football. No more basketball. And then they got the Silver Knights.
Right.
You know, just like when, hey, wow, 98 Degrees is playing here. Well, hey, Future Stars of Wrestling featuring, oh, shit, that motherfucker is going to be on the show. You know, we love our guys, but the average fan's not going to be like, oh, my God, Danny Limelight's on the show. But they're like, oh, shit, Ricochet's going to be here or whatever ex, you know, former star that used to be on TV. Oh, my God, Hacksaw Jim Duggan's going to be here. You know, people will still pop for something like that. So after next Wednesday, now we move again. That's the next step. You know, now we're at the letter C, you know, if we're going to go from A to Z. And it's like, okay, what do we need to do to get to, you know, a 9-month process with all the other things going on are wrapped in there. So, you know,
right.
I'm jam-packed trying to talk to people, trying to get them involved. And, you know, Jake hit me up about, you know, a charity show. And we've talked about doing something on Christmas. So we'll see what's going on. For, you know, we always do our Christmas show, donate toys. And, you know, that has been, you know, a really good thing that we've done over the years to where, hey, $20 admission, bringing, you know, two unwrapped toys, it's 10 bucks.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just trying to get everything rolling.
Any potential of seeing a Legends Battle Royal, Future Stars, like maybe, you know, an Alcatraz, you know, some of the guys.
I don't know. Alcatraz, reverse osmosity. I saw that his beard is back to his original color.
Yeah.
You know, which was weird to me with Christmas coming up. You know, I know you can make it. He would have been able to make a lot of extra money playing the mall Santa. But I guess since most malls are closed, they probably don't have as many mall Santas anymore. So.
I mean, Gallows made his return in Arizona. So, you know, you got some big boys who are looking good for their age. And
yeah, problem is you can't do two battle royals. So, you know, but we can always incorporate at the Mecca anniversary show because there will be a battle royal like we always do.
Yeah.
But maybe the 20 becomes 30. And, you know, there's nothing more than embracing the history of FSW.
Right.
So having a former champion like Alcatraz, you know, having, like I always try to get Legacy to come out and do stuff and Hater and guys that were very prominent in our success throughout the years. And being able to do that is definitely first and foremost. And there might be, you know, guys that maybe past their prime to where they don't really wrestle full time that have, you know, and I'm talking national names that may be cool with doing a battle royal. You know, I remember seeing the Godfather at the Rumble and all he did was dance to the ring, got in, got tossed out and danced right back. And, you know, the pop was huge compared to if Adrian Rain walked out. You know what I mean? Not that I'm going to like not have that person on the show.
Right.
But if there's a way, and again, he lives in Vegas, if there's a way to get the Godfather to be introduced, because he's, if he's part of the meet and greet, kind of like we did that with Rhino, like, because things right. happened and we had a scamper. So we signed Rhino, but we didn't want to announce him for a match. So we announced him as part of the meet and greet. So when he came out and wrestled Tito, it ended up being a huge moment.
Right.
So, you know, he's a guy that has stood the test of time.
Yeah.
That if he's going to be there, you know, love to utilize him. So now it's making the list of Greg Valentine, who lives in town, and Sabu, and everybody who lives in town. Right. Jeff Cobb, whatever it is. Like, hey, what would it take for you to be here for this? What would it take for you to be here for that? And then it's trying to just put everything together to where it's a mega event that it's basically our anniversary show, because it is our anniversary show, but right. turning it up 10 times right. or 5 times, because that's the kind of crowd we're looking for, about 5 times the anniversary crowd. So if it's the Battle of the Body Guys and it's Hammerstone Masters and, you know, Brian Cage, hey, that's a triple threat match people might want to see. Hey, if it's, oh my God, special appearance by former FSW superstars Solo Sikoa, you know, Zoe Stark and Karrion Kross, you know what I mean? It's like, oh my yeah. God, I can't believe it. I'm going to get this. Those are everything that now I have to reach out.
Right.
And say, hey, you know, just like Chris Bay and Hammerstone and Jay Vidal and Kenny King and anybody who's worked for us that has made it on a level. Hey, you can't make the show LA Knight. Any way you can say, hey, happy anniversary, FS, you know, make it a special moment for everybody who's right. there. Because there's certain things, kind of like when Fozzy was playing the night we were doing the Mecca with Jushin Liger. Wanted right. to get Jericho there. We couldn't. But hey, this is Chris Jericho. Welcome everybody to the Mecca. Bye, bye, bye. And he puts stuff over. And it's a moment that basically, unless you were there, you didn't see it.
Right.
John Moxley. Oh, shit. It's a sold out show. I couldn't get tickets. I didn't even know John Moxley was going to be there. But he was there. And now those people. It's crazy how the FSW Arena holds about 270 people. But I swear 1,000 people said they were there seeing John Moxley.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. If you want to get some really good heat, you can see if good old Matt and Nick were available to come on in and do a one-off.
Who's that?
The Young Bucks.
Oh, yeah. I'm not sure we can find all the sponsorship money in Las Vegas to get them to show up. But, hey, they'll probably be here in May. Hey, you guys want to do a surprise appearance?
Just saying. I mean, offer them, you know, I'm sure if you got them some sneakers, you know.
They were at our very first show ever.
Yeah. That's the whole thing, man. You know,
they were the biggest names on the card. You know, Kenny King was the only other name guy. But the Young Bucks, Joe yeah. plucked them out of a YouTube video. Oh, these guys, I like them. I said they might make it.
And see, that's how you sell it. You just, if you go to them with, hey, if it wasn't for you guys, we wouldn't have a company all these years later.
Oh, yeah. Here's the perfect actually, example. Perfect spot. For our anniversary show, we will have an AEW superstar who performed on our very first show. Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Cutler.
Yes.
I think the crowd would go in a frenzy. So there you go. We had three AEW superstars on our very first show.
You could run, maybe you could run Brandon Cutler versus his video camera.
Or Brandon Cutler versus Brandon G versus Brandon Gatson. The battle of the Brandons.
Okay. And hey, it's Vegas, man. Get Brandon Flowers in there from the Killers. And you're,
you know, for a thousand, I'll let you do a live podcast. I'll let you do a live interview with me at my own show. So, you know, if you don't want to take it, I'll make the offer to Lawson. And if not, I'll even drop even lower and hit up Mark Hoke. You know what I'm saying? You know, because he's on that other thing that nobody listens to. It's called radio.
Oh, you that thing that Pauly Cover invented it, right?
Yeah, that guy.
That guy.
So that's another one. So we got that terrestrial radio. It's like, it's weird. It's like, it's kind of like, does anybody watch cable TV anymore?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you could run commercials.
Oh, Mikey probably got him working. He's probably trying to work on him already. A 1 hour pre-show of just commercials.
I think though, you know, think about it. What would an actual commercial cost to run it during a Vegas Knights game on channel 34? You know,
I'd have to inquire. Back in the day, airing a commercial on Monday Night Raw was about $450. Now, this was in the heyday of 2010 when we were doing shows. Okay, right. I remember. When I was working very closely with, who is it? Josh Matthews for TNA, and they were running Raw commercials. I believe it was about $600. Okay. And that was when the ratings were like half of what they were when I did it, yet they were more money. And I remember. Specifically because they paid $600 and it was not a guarantee that the commercial would air.
Wow.
And then I remember one time it didn't air. And for some reason, I remember, I don't know if it was when Tyson Tyler was doing FSW Arizona, but I got a sheet where he bought radio time. And I remember it was like the Clippers versus the Nuggets on ESPN2, and it was $12 and $14. And he had a whole bunch of commercials, and it added up to whatever, $1,500 or whatever. But he ran commercials throughout like all different, you know, programming on their cable outlet and stuff. Yeah. So, you know, it's crazy how inexpensive you can get commercials sometimes.
Right. And especially now, the one, if you're going to do any type of commercial money, the one thing you would want to put it into is live sports, because people tend to have live sports on them.
It's crazy. It's the same thing when the newspapers collapsed. You know, it was like, hey, it's $1,000 for, you know, the quarter page. I remember Buffalo Jim would have it in the Review Journal. And then you inquire, you know, 10, 12 years later when nobody is, and it's like $1,000 for a fucking blurb. You know, that same spot is like $3,000. And it's like, so your readership went down like 82% and you're charging 200% more.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's funny because that's the theory. Well, because the readership's down, the demand is down, so we have to charge more to, you know, and it's like, seems half-assed backwards, but okay.
Right. And it's like, to be honest with you, I would rather pay to be in, say, the Las Vegas Weekly, because everybody sees it and everybody browses through it because it's free. So it becomes available to everybody.
And I'm sure, getting closer to it, you'll probably be able to get a write-up in Vegas Weekly. It's been a number of years, so.
Well, yeah, and again, that's the idea of the partnership with Lee's Family Forum, who, if you go into Las Vegas Weekly, probably already have an existing ad. Same thing with existing radio. Well, if there's an event there, it's not like the Silverton. We're considered a four wall. So they will go out of their way to have less people and make less money from those tribute bands because they have to pay them a good amount of money.
Right.
Than us because they're just, they've made money by charging us the fee, the $450 fee, and the bar. So they're happy with this number. You think they'd be happier with this number.
Right.
But they've already made their money. With the other people, they're starting here. So they'll spend money to get to here.
Right.
But we have no value when we're already here. And that's why that's why the little hair I have, I did have more, but I keep pulling it out after having to deal with them. You know, other than being put on the marquee, they won't do anything. Like, there wasn't a poster that says, hey, check out Future Stars Wrestling. I know one of my best fans, Danny and Sophia, they lived in California. The reason they heard about us was they happened to be staying at the Silverton, and they saw the big poster.
Yep.
In the casino, hey, wrestling. And then they checked it out, and it was like they were from SoCal. So they knew the Tito's and Che's and Eli's and whoever we were using from SoCal at the time. Then they moved to Vegas, and they already knew who we were.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, tell me, I'll spend $40 to get two posters to be put up if you're not going to do it. Like the one time, anniversary show, which was the one show that, hey, we knew we were going to draw well, but for whatever crazy reason, they put us on the video screens inside the casino.
Right.
Now they don't even have a box office.
Right.
So you have to buy everything online, even when you go there. So when you went there, I was standing there, and it was like, well, you know, you can't get tickets here. You got to. Oh, no, we don't have a box office. The fuck are you supposed to buy tickets the day of the event? Oh, there's a QR code on a poster next to the Vail Pavilion. Like, who would fucking know this?
Nope. Nope. It's, yeah.
Help me. That's all I ask. Like, don't kill me.
Yeah.
Make me. You know, and that's the other thing. So if you're going to say there's no box office and there's no this, how about you make me aware of it? I don't know that your box office is fucking closed till I go there to pick up my check. And it's like, where's the fucking box office? It's all barricaded off because they're doing whatever.
Yep.
And they're doing the drawing somewhere else. It's like, am I a fucking mind reader? Like, you know, people like to buy it at the box office. Not everybody, unfortunately, and I guess you have to be, are computer literate. Oh, you just go online and get it. Well, that's not the easiest thing in the world. Like, I try to be as savvy and know as much as I can, but I'm not one who uses the phone a lot to do my business. I use my computer, which is like really weird to people. Everybody does shit on their phone. Like, I like the bigger screen. I like to be able to see it. My wife goes on Amazon, and she can't see half the stuff because it's not visible of all the information.
Well, maybe that's a good thing, Joe.
Yeah. That's true. But it's like, it's just, again, you know, Dollar Loan Center, you know, hey, it's going to be through Ticketmaster. But we are going to have control of everything we do. Hey. How do we make a ticket $16? How do we make it $6 fees for the $10 ticket? We want to do $10. Got to get the ticket. you know, and those are the stuff that need to be ironed out six, seven months in advance, because there's no reason why at No Escape in January we can't have tickets for sale.
At the very least, it has to be by Mania time, because
it definitely. Well, that's April. If we don't have tickets up in 2 months, we ain't getting 3,000 people.
Yeah. So, you know, that's the whole thing.
You know, and because it's like, it's getting the youth teams involved. And again, that's going to be helpful with the, you know, Leash Family Forum. Hey, we need to send out these mass emails to people. We have no idea who they are, but they do. It's their event.
Right.
Hey, we'll do a group ticket and it'll be, you know, $500 for 50 tickets.
Yeah.
Whatever. 70 tickets. I don't care. It's trying to get as many people there as you can, plus bringing in some money. And, you know, whatever it takes. Kids class kids. Hey, bring the family. You know, your ticket will be free, kids. And your family only has to pay $16.
Sure. You can, maybe you can have something where you can get the BVW title defended on the show. And, you know, Ricky can pay to have his title defended on the anniversary show, right?
I think we're going to be filled up right there, but I'm pretty sure Ricky Tenacious will be on there.
Ricky should get about a good 5-minute concert outside in the parking lot, right?
You never know. He might be at the pre-show. You know, everybody's been gearing up. I posted it on the Facebook. Everybody wants to have karaoke with the wrestlers. So, you know, that could be a thing. I remember a couple of years ago or last year, they did that. I think it was like Mance Warner and some of the GCW guys. Might have been Matt Justice, the fucker who broke our coffin that time we let him use it for the GCW show. That fucker's put a hole in my wall. This dude's wrestled for us in the FSW GCW show twice, and it was Jimmy Lloyd's birthday party. So in three times, he broke our casket, and he put a hole in the fucking wall. You know, I don't know if the rumor's true, but I heard Brett got rid of him from GCW because he damaged our arena. That's what I heard. And then I remember at the LV, wherever they ran a 6-man tag against Damian Drake, Vandegrift, and Eli Everfly. And I think he put a fucking hole in the wall of the Meet Las Vegas.
Right. Yeah. I think it was.
Well, hey, good news. I just got a response from Triller TV. Hope you are well. Sincere apologies for delay in responding and delay in payment. I will sync with our AP team and revert as soon as possible. So good news by WrestleMania. I should get paid.
Hang in there, Hammerstone. You'll have your money soon.
You know, because I believe Mike Weber is no longer there. So.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Interesting. Well, as we head to the final thoughts here, Joe, 25th is going to be the Battle Royal. So far, have you heard any rumors?
Yes, big news. Beans will be returning as Randy Orton. So that should be a very big moment. Beans makes his return after a 1-year absence of being on a show to follow up his award-winning performance as Randy Orton. Everybody's waiting for the pose.
Any rumor, truth to the fact that you might be able to get Bob Orton Jr. in to walk him to the ring?
You know, those are possible. I know the Orton family used to live in Vegas. We actually, crazy story that you bring up Orton, a nephew or something like that who lived in Vegas hit us up, and I believe Remy and somebody else came to do a birthday party for that. Here's a crazy story that you would think never happened. So I get hit up by this guy, and it turns out that his friend's mom had passed away, and she was a big wrestling fan, and they wanted to have a memorial. They were having a memorial for her at the house, and he comes to our shows, the guy, and I didn't know if it was real or fake, and he gives me a call. He was like, yeah, I was interested in booking some wrestlers, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, okay, I have no idea. I'm assuming it's this guy who wants to book a show. I'm like, well, you kind of need to get in touch with them. You know, I don't really control. It's like, when's the thing? When's the show? Oh, it's not a show. It's a memorial, blah, blah. It's tomorrow. Tomorrow. Where are you? Oh, I'm in Vegas. You know, my friend's mom, you know, really like Kenny King. I'm like, well, I don't know how easy it is to get Kenny King. So what do you want him to do? We want them to dress up in full gear at this memorial at the house for the mom who passed away. And I'm like, motherfucker, like, serious? Like, there's no way this is possible. We can pay them X amount of dollars. I'm like, how much? X amount. I'm like, all right, I'll call you right back. Hey, Kenny. Ba 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 ba. How much? Yeah, I can make it. And then so him and Remy did it. The guy paid the deposit up front. And then the minute they got there, he fucking cash at me the rest. They got to eat, like, you know, catered food. And it's like, is Kenny there yet? Well, he's putting the tape on his boots. And, like, Kenny's all, like, full-fledged out. First time Kenny King's ever actually been on time for something to do with wrestling in Vegas. But, you know, he made the thing. I got a message back. They fucking loved it. It was the greatest thing ever. They had to take pictures. I think they had to take pictures with the fucking casket, to be honest with you, which is a big tradition in my Puerto Rican customs. Like, I remember when my grandmother and grandfather died, they'd be like, oh, Yo-Yo, because it's short for JoJo, which is what they call me. And it'd be like, you know, stand in front of the fucking casket and take a picture with grandpa. You know what I mean? It's just like, what the fuck? You're 12 years old. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? But yeah, so that was, you know, that'll go on. That'll be in the memoirs.
Well, I request then that on the 25th, you found your casket match. Kenny versus Remy in a memorial casket match. I can hear you now, Joe.
Did we miss my punchline?
Yeah, absolutely. You
said we could do Remy versus Kenny King in a casket match, and I said with the lady who passed away inside the casket. Freaking internet. It's like, again, is it my internet or is it the fucking computer? Perfect for an hour and 3 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, and right on the punchline.
I guess God was striking me down for that one. See, and people say I don't really believe. If that doesn't make you a believer, right there.
Oh well, I'm glad you dug up that story. All right.
Buried alive match. Buried dead match. Never had one of those. Dead match. You know, so on that positive note.
All right, everyone. Well, tune in next time, and we'll see you then.